When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone, and we welcome you into Panthers Pathway here on the Pit Talk Network, a part of the Fan First Sports Network. I'm Austin Bechtold, pleased to be joined alongside Christopher Carter, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, covers the Panthers on a daily basis, does a fantastic job of it. Chris, what's up?
What's up, Austin? Glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me, sir. We've certainly had some good times in our March Madness travels together, so it's awesome to talk some football with you.
Yes, sir. Very excited for it, and a very exciting win for the Panthers after only having one victory on the season against an FCS opponent that we all know is pretty inferior to the Panthers compared to everybody else that Pitt suited up against this year. Number 14, Louisville, came into town off a emotional, fantastic win against Notre Dame. Number 10, Notre Dame at home, Jack Harlow in attendance, a ton of different fanatics, a ton of things going on in Louisville for that win. And it just seemed like all the momentum was on Louisville's side coming into the game. And for Pitt, making a quarterback change, Christian Vayer now suiting up for Pitt, Phil Dracovic, now the third-string quarterback. It seemed like this was Louisville's game to go in there and really beat Pitt by double digits. But the Panthers are the ones that locked in and won the game by 17.
Yeah, it was a big win, huge win. Can't say enough about it for the Panthers. But Austin, this is something that I've been saying for a while. Like, I was waiting for when Pitt would have this win, right? Like, yeah. This is a very, very much a Pat Narduzzi, a Pitt win, when everything else has gone wrong and their backs are in the corner. They may take a couple haymaker shots, but they're going to come out firing and laying one of them in return. And the question now is going to be, Austin, can they build off of that? Can they combine? Can they keep those punches flowing? Can they build off it against a Wake Forest team that's very beatable in this upcoming game? If they do, it's going to spark a very interesting conversation in the ACC, because Pitt, you know, was very much out of it at 1-4. But then when you upset the number 14 team in the country, that is, oh, okay, maybe there's something there. You have a major personnel change at quarterback, and you're getting a little bit healthier in different regards. As guys start to come back for you, you look at those situations and you think, man, like this. This Pitt football team, if they can pull off a few more upsets, and I said going into this stretch before the Louisville game, they needed to steal at least one of those games against those three ranked teams. Of course, those being Louisville, Florida State, and Notre Dame, and Duke. I know is in this conversation, but I think Duke's going to fall out with their injuries that they've suffered. But yeah. They need to win one of those three games and then handle the rest of their business against everyone else to have a shot to become bowl eligible. This is the first step of that. They beat one of those teams now. Now can they stack on that? Every one of these games now is a must-win game if they want to be bowl eligible and keep this season afloat after the really rough start. But really encouraged by a lot of things that we saw in this game. I wrote after the Virginia Tech loss for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the way that they lost was a complete loss of identity. They didn't have – They didn't even when Pat Narduzzi's teams lost in some of their roughest games and some of their roughest years, they would run the ball. They would stop the run. They'd get after the quarterback, but you may shred them through the air. They may not pass the best. They may not have the offensive explosiveness. And that wasn't the case at all at Virginia Tech. They were run over. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't run the ball consistently. They were relying on big plays to just kind of get them all their points. And that's not the identity that you want to be if you're Pitt football. But they got that identity back against Louisville, because Louisville is a team that could be physical, that could move you and run you over. That they didn't do that on offense. And then Pitt's run game, it wasn't dominant, but it was present there, and that allowed for a balanced opportunity for Christian Bayer to come in, just make some bigger throws deep down the field. He doesn't have to be a surgeon, just has to give his receivers chances to make plays on one-on-one go balls and situations like that. I think that's the formula that Pitt's trying to win with this year. That's what they wanted to win with Phil Jakovic. It didn't work out that way. And now they have a chance if they can grasp that style of play, that could be the factor that does handle business the rest of their way here in the ACC, win them their winnable contests, and get them back into the bowl conversation.
Yeah, and it really started to get Christian Veyer going a little bit. What did you think of his overall performance in his first start?
I thought he did what he was supposed to do. I thought he gave his guys shots on the deep balls. I thought he was, he avoided making the crushing mistake, which is so important in this game. You know, I think people that were really excited, you know, look at his numbers and say, okay, he completed less than 50% of his throws. He wasn't seeing the field, you know, all over the place. He wasn't diagnosing every single coverage and how it counteracted with the underneath concepts that Pitt had to exploit those different coverages. But what he was doing was when he got the shots to throw the deep ball, he was giving his guys a good chance to catch those deep balls. And his completion percentage, I believe, jumped from 46% to 62% when the ball had to travel more than 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. That's a good sign that his arm is healthy. That's a good sign that he believes in his arm. That's a good sign that his receivers are able to make plays. And that's something that this offense, I think, has had this whole time. And that's why it was really disappointing about Phil Jakovic. Pitt's receivers aren't bad. Like, I think they're actually good. I like Bub Means as a receiver. I like Kanate Mumfield. I like Kenny Johnson, Dejon Reynolds. They have depth there that I think is very usable. And then you can't say enough about Gavin Bartholomew. And I honestly think that's another part of this offense that's highly underused. Carter Johnson is a good number two tight end. Malcolm Epps, I think, is a very unused number three tight end. This team should be doing much better in the air. Christian Veyer doing the basics is what you want for his first start. I still think they should try to keep it simple in this next game. The rest of this year is about seeing if Christian Veyer can be the guy next year and seeing if he can build off of that. So they've gotten some of those shot plays. Keep things simple for him against Wake Forest. Maybe add in a few more wrinkles, but don't change up your formula. Don't try to make him a guy that's attacking teams horizontally. Let him use his strong arm and attack vertically.
Yeah, and it's not like you have to completely take the training wheels off at this point. It's kind of a build-up, really, at least in my mind, to Notre Dame, Florida State. Get him ready for those games. Obviously not look past any of the other opponents
right,
that you're going up against. But Pitt has not won a game on the road so far this year, and only two opportunities. And the chance to be able to put Veyer on the road against a Wake Forest team that is subpar. I'm sure Wake Forest is looking at it as if Pitt is a subpar team as well. But this is a different Panthers team right now. I know it was only one game in the Louisville win, but this is a different team compared to the start of the year, let's say the West Virginia game or the North Carolina game, right? Not by too many regards, but it is a little bit different.
It's different because at the beginning of the year, West Virginia was a team that you looked at and you said, okay, this Pitt team should, if it does what it's supposed to do, they should beat that team. Now, Pitt has not done what they're supposed to do for four of their six games. And when you play at that level, there are no teams that you should look at and say, oh yeah, that's a W. And I think that Pitt has kind of lost that ability, to look at that honestly as an analyst or a writer and say, okay, yeah, this is just going to be a win going into that contest unless they had another Wofford on the schedule. But I still say, I know West Virginia is what, 4-2 and everything. I still say if Pitt just gets reasonable quarterback play in that game, they walk over the Mountaineers. They're in such a better position. Phil Jakovic killed them in that game. And that is on Pat Narduzzi and his coaching staff for not making that adjustment mid-game. And West Virginia deserves credit for not letting their foot off Pitt's neck in that game. But if Christian Veyer starts that game, they probably win. If Christian Veyer starts against Cincinnati, they probably win that game. If Christian Veyer starts against Virginia Tech, I think they have a chance to win that game. I don't think there's any chance they were winning North Carolina. The way Drake May was playing was just lights out in that situation. And Phil actually even looked good in the first half, considering what was going on. But I look at how this season has gone. There's a real opportunity for Christian Veyer to build. And for this team to believe in itself and it has a lot of young players, an offensive line that's had to get almost a new full starting unit every single week. A lot of young players being involved in that. A lot of young players being involved on defense, guys that are going to be back. You know, a lot of young guys becoming playmakers in the offense. You know, we've talked about Mumfield. He's a junior, and he has another year of eligibility that he could be using. Kenny Johnson and what he's been putting up. There's a lot of potential here for this team to grow and then have a lot of leaders who went through the rough times of this year to set the standard for next year and say, hey, we're not coming out the gates slow. We're coming out the gates focused, and we're gonna be a much better team.
You know, we know that Christian Vayer is a better quarterback than Phil Dracovic is. Might not be putting this in the best words, but in what areas does he significantly help the Panthers at the quarterback position compared to what Phil was giving them?
I think he just has a stronger arm right now. And I think this is the unfortunate part about Phil Dracovic's situation. Phil Dracovic's arm, even just a couple of years ago, was fabulous. He could stand on his own 20 and probably hit the other 10 without much issue. I remember I covered him playing Pitt when he was at Boston College back in 2020 during the pandemic season. And at Boston College, I saw that man on the run just launch a laser like 50 yards downfield effortlessly. And I was like, whoa, that looks like a young Big Ben type of arm. And that's what Pitt thought they were going to get. And I think that's where they were banking on. They were like, hey, beyond any cerebral parts of his game, beyond anything else, his experience, they were going to get that cannon of an arm, and they just didn't. And there were so many times that the ball fluttered out of his hands, didn't zip to his opponent. And I think missing that, Phil isn't cerebral enough of the quarterback to make up for not having that. And I think that's what came back to bite him. And that's where he struggled at. Whereas Christian is still young and figuring out what kind of quarterback he wants to be. He's figuring out how different concepts and different looks counter what defenses are trying to take away from him. That's going to be a process in learning, but where Christian has it, he has the cannon arm. Go back. A lot of people want to look at the deep back shoulder ball that he threw to Kenny Johnson, or the deep ball he threw to Bub Means, or the deep ball he threw to Konate Mumfield. There was a second down, I think it's second and 10, where he completed a 13-yard pass to Bub Means over the middle. It was just a pass over the middle. I think it was like an in route or something like that. But that's probably the throw that I was like, whoa, wait a second, look at that arm. If you go back and there's a replay angle from behind the quarterback that you can kind of see kind of what he was looking at. When Bub Means breaks to the inside, the trailing defender is like right on his back, but there are two linebackers sitting in the passing lane. Like I think it's a mistake that they were there at the same time, because you just want one guy there. But Christian Vayer fires this pass and it goes right past both of them. And like they didn't even have time to react. They were like, and it was just, it froze them. And it was, that's how strong of a throw it was. And it was on the money to Bub Means. He caught it first down Pitt. I think it was second quarter, I want to say, but it was like a second and 10 play. I remember that much. That's when I was like, okay. So this kid got that kind of cannon on him that he can even use that on, you know, intermediate passes, just firing lasers. That's where I think Christian Vayer brings something real to the table. And if he does progress mentally, if he can progress cerebrally as a thinking quarterback, develop relationships with his receivers, learn how to put the ball in different spots and keep his mechanics improving to shorten up his start to end time and his throw, I think that he could be something real special for a bit.
And it helped that the Panthers won the battle in the trenches and can try to take that momentum now into Wake Forest. The offensive line protected Vayer, and the defensive line, 8 tackles for loss, 4 sacks. They really got after it for the first time this year and provided the most pressure against Plummer compared to any opposing quarterback that Pitt has faced.
And part of that was also the formula that Pitt had been talking about, right? You know, they said, hey, we got to stop the run to get after the quarterback. We got to force them into third and longs so that our guys can pin their ears back and make those plays. And some of them weren't third and longs, but also second and longs. Like Samuel Okunlola, he was able to get after his man because his quarterback was looking further downfield and waiting for routes to process. That gave him the extra second. He was able to hit him, put his hand on the football, recover it, and make things happen there. I think I've said this all along. I think Pitt's defense still has a lot of potential to be one of the better units in the ACC. They haven't been that through, you know, through five games. I think that this sixth game was a wake-up call to how they need to be playing again. I don't know if they'll consistently play that way the rest of the way here, but I do think that they, you know, the secondary, they have the talent, the linebackers, they have the talent, the defensive line, they have the talent. They just got to put it together. They got to play on the same level. And I think that also when you have an offense that isn't struggling as much as Pitt's offense struggled in the first four games after Wofford, I think that that's going to put the defense in better positions to make those plays.
How do you feel MJ Devonshire played? Obviously with the pick six being the main highlight of it, in a critical position when Louisville was driving. Pretty much one of the plays of the game, you'd say. Was that the turning point, really, for Pitt defensively?
It was the exclamation point. Because both those interceptions, his and AJ Woods, happened in their own territory while Wake Forest was driving. And that interception was also partially because of, I believe it was Solomon DeShields. Wake Forest tried to do a rub route underneath. And when they did that, I think it was DeShields who basically like blew it up. Like they tried to run into him and he was like, oh no, run into me, come on. And when he did that, he kind of like bounced off, like they went in to block him and he bounced them off. And so that's why the referees didn't call for it. And in fact, Louisville's quarterback was like, that's pass interference, he hit our guy. And they were like, no, your guy tried to either hit them and he protected himself. And when he did that, that kind of threw off the rhythm of the play. And that allowed for, and that forced a bad pass. And that's where the MJ Devonshire made the big play there. But he also was huge all throughout this game. Early on, like in the first half, I was like, man, Pitt's cornerbacks are struggling. And they were making mistakes. They were missing tackles. They were getting thrown at. Things weren't happening in their favor. But then in that second half, they looked like the Pitt cornerbacks that we've been waiting to see all season long. Not only did MJ have his pick six, but he had five pass breakups. That's insane. That means they kept going after him, and he kept blocking it down. AJ Woods looked good with his interception. Also looked good in coverage. Marquez Williams looked good in coverage. I think they had totaled eight pass breakups on the night. Teams are going to go after those corners. That's just with the nature of Pitt's defense, is that they put those guys on islands and they expect them to win. But when they win like that, You set the tone for your defense to have a very good night and to feed off that energy, and for your offense to feed off that energy when you get them the ball back. So I think MJ Devonshire played great. Maybe definitely his best game of the year so far. Maybe his best game as a Pitt Panther. I know that may be crazy to say for people who remember the pick six against West Virginia, but just thinking about all the pass breakups he had in this one, I think this was maybe his most complete performance, and one that NFL scouts might even be looking at and saying, hey, what's up with that guy? He's from Aliquippa, right? Just looking at that, I think that MJ had a great job. I also think that the rest of the defense had really good. Another guy that I think goes unsung in this game is Solomon DeShield, not just for that moment, but there were plenty of plays where he was bringing pressure on the quarterback. He was helping against the run. He was all over the place. I think Solomon DeShields has found his footing as a major player for the Pitt defense.
And pretty cool when Darrell Revis is there and able to watch and see the MJ Devonshire interception as well. All right, so Wake Forest, what do you see overall from this team? What should the Panthers expect? And what do you think the game plan should be for Pitt on both sides of the ball?
Well, one thing that Wake Forest still has, even from its ACC championship game with Pitt, is they still have that RPO offense where they're going to try to make things simple on the quarterback by saying, hey, if it's there, just hand it off. If not, pull it, and then you can either run or you have these two reads right here. Pitt used to really struggle with RPOs. It used to be the bane of their defense because it would freeze their guys in the middle and it would force their guys on islands to live on those islands for a bit longer. And then that led to problems. And even the first quarter of that game, Wake Forest put up, I think, 21 points. And it was like, man, this is going to be a shootout. Luckily, for Pitt, they had Kenny Pickett that day, and he responded in kind with his own 21 points. But in the second, third, and fourth quarters, Pitt's defense realized, oh yeah, we're going to stop falling for the RPO. We're just going to play aggressive. We're going to attack every play. And Sam Hartman, who now is the quarterback for Notre Dame, he was just overwhelmed. And I like Sam Hartman as a quarterback. I think he's tough. I think he's gritty. I think he's a good leader. But that day, he was seeing ghosts, and he was hit so hard he didn't understand where to go. That's where Pitt needs to do to Wake Forest. They need to not back off. When the RPO is coming, Don't care. Hit the quarterback. Hit the running back. They do it. Do what you got to do. They're going to hit on some big plays. You be the big play machine. You go after them and do that. And this is a Wake Forest offense that you're going to have to, you know, honor some different things that they do right. Demond Claiborne's their running back. He's got 375 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns. He's going to be the guy that they're going to be handing the ball off to there. Mitch Griffiths is their quarterback. He's a guy that has 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Not entirely elite there. Keep the game in front of you. Don't give up the big plays. And when you get the chance, force those turnovers. That's what this Pitt defense is all about. Pat Narduzzi, I think that was his 40th win in his career when Pitt has won the turnover battle. And I think he only has 4 losses whenever Pitt wins a turnover battle in a contest or something like that. I have to go back over my notes because I talked about that a couple weeks ago. But I really think that if Pitt does its job in containing the RPO offense and getting after the quarterback and creating those turnovers, and Christian Vayer just does his job of hit on a couple shot plays, don't turn the ball over, this game plan falls right into the hands of Pitt and gives them a very good chance to win.
Wake Forest has not won a conference game, has lost 3 games in a row, and lost last week to Virginia Tech, a Virginia Tech team that in two conference wins for the Hokies against Wake Forest and against Pitt. 2 quick questions for you, Carter, sure, before I go more into the running back situation. 1, how many times will Phil Dracovic be shown on the broadcast, over under 1.5 as spotlighted and talked about?
Good question. I feel like, you know, college broadcasts are one of the trickier things because sometimes they want to find different things to talk about. I'll take the over on that 1.5. I think that they'll bring up, because, you know, as we reported here at the Post Gazette, my partner Noah Heil said it, you know, he's looking to be a tight end. I think that there's a lot of commendations that go to that. But I also think that a lot of the broadcast is going to go right to the fact that Vayer's taken over, and if Vayer's good, They're gonna be focusing on that part of things. Now, Phil Dracovic is being very supportive on the sidelines, and that's visible. I mean, Phil Dracovic's been supportive. That's the other thing. I don't want to say that he hasn't, but like I'm saying, if the TV broadcast can like see him being there, helping Vayer, you know, after plays, he'll get on TV for that, and that'll be something that they definitely talk about.
All right, bonus to that: will Phil Dracovic catch a pass this year?
Yes, I believe this in our heart of hearts that there is going to be a game. Maybe against Notre Dame, maybe against Boston College, particularly because those are his former teams, where they're going to bring out Phil Dracovic in a package, and it's going to be like a screen, or it's going to be like a double pass, or a pass to the flat, and they're going to try to get him the ball to get him a catch and to see what he's got there. They like Phil. Like even his teammates now, on the team, they like Phil. No one's like saying like, thank God we got that guy out of there. You know, they're saying, hey, you know what, we recognize we needed to change, but everyone appreciates Phil and the effort that he brings, and has a ton of respect for that guy. I have a ton of respect for Phil. I think he's handled this professional. I think, you know, the boo comments, you know, were the boo comments. I thought that I wouldn't have made them, but I also understood where he was coming from. But everything else, as far as handling how this is going, I think he's handled it with like a professional. He's kept his head up. I think it's a lot. He could have packed his bags and said, you know what, I'm just done. I'm not dealing with this anymore. But no, he's sticking with his team, sticking with his brothers, and he's learning a new position, even when he was brought here to be the star quarterback of this team this year. So kudos to Phil Dracovic there.
100%. I think he catches a pass as well. Will we see the fake slide on the broadcast?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, this is something that this was a huge matchup in the ACC championship. Both teams, I mean, that game is still one of the biggest ACC games that people could call back to, because again, it's Kenny Pickett that in that game broke Deshaun Watson's ACC scoring records. Like, you know, he capped off a big year. That was the year that kind of built the legend of Kenny Pickett to the national audience, who might not have been as familiar with him when they saw the fake slide. So I guarantee you they see the fake slide at least twice.
What do you think overall of the running backs and how they're being deployed? Rodney Hammond, we're seeing a lot of Sebo Flemister. Do you think this is the way Pitt wants to go about it? Because at the beginning of the year, coming into it, you know, going back to last year, Izzy Abanikanda was the guy, but Rodney Hammond supplemented him here and there sparingly. kind of expected it to be the case for Hammond to be the main featured back, but would you say it's somewhat a similar role as last year? I'd say probably not, because when it was Izzy running for 300 yards in a game, or just being the number one guy that you knew it was established, he was the guy that opponents needed to circle on the depth chart. It doesn't seem like that's the case anymore.
There isn't a running back like that right now. The highest average per game rushing right now is Rodney Hammond with 41 yards. I never thought that would happen. Like 41 yards per game for a Pitt running back. That's crazy. And part of it is they've tried this rotation with Hammond and Flemister and Carter. And they've been trying to balance things on offense. But I'm right with you. Like, I thought Rodney Hammond Jr. would get a lot more uses than he has. But I'll share with you this interaction that I had with running back coach Andre Powell when I talked about Rodney. I compared him to a power back. I said, like, hey, like last year when Izzy Abanikanda brought the speed, Rodney Hammond changed up the pace, and he was kind of the guy that could close out games for you. It's like, is he a guy who can be a power back for you guys and help you grind down opponents as games wear on? And Andre Powell looks at me and he says, let me ask you this. What makes you think he's a power back? Like, what makes you think that he can last a whole game doing that? And I was like, he did that a few times last year. He's like, when? And I blanked in the moment. Noah remembered Syracuse when he did do it in that game. But also, he did it against UCLA in the Sun Bowl. Syracuse, he had 120 yards on 20 carries. The Sun Bowl, he didn't have that many yards and carries, but he was a big force for them. And it seemed to me like when those numbers were brought up to Andre, he was like, well, that's last year. And I'm like, well, wait a second. You said when he did it. And I'm like, he did it then. So to me, that signaled, like, I think Pitt wants to see more from Rodney Hammond. I think that Pitt doesn't I think that the coaches are trying to pull more out of him before he becomes a true RB1. We live off of you in this offense, running the ball consistently throughout a game. And that's why Sebo Flemers is going to get more carries like that.
It sounds like a lack of confidence. It really does.
It does. I think it is. I think it's a lack of confidence in him to be the bell cow running back like they were thinking he would be. And I think it's a big question as far as how do they want to play with this offense moving forward. Because again, with Veyer, you don't want Veyer throwing 40 times a game. You want him throwing 25 times a game, with about 10 of those balls being his deep passes, right? And if you have that pace. To have that pace, that means you got to be running the football and running the football well. And the offensive line is one thing, but the running back room, I think that Pitt needs to find its rhythm there. And I think Sebo Flemister is doing a heck of a job. I think that he has really come on. Rodney Hammond even said, like, hey, when he's on the field, it's like me being on the field. So, we have full confidence in each other. But certainly, Pitt misses the superstar power that Israel Abanikanda brought. I said to people last year, I'm like, that dude's a superstar, and he's not going to be easy to replace. But I thought Rodney Hammond would be given more of an opportunity to replace that load just by feeding him more than the 57 times he's been asked to tote the ball so far.
Joined by Christopher Carter of the Post-Gazette here on Panthers Pathway. All right, who wins and why? Do the Panthers win two games in a row, first winning streak of the season?
I got Pitt winning this one. I think that they have found something on defense and on offense that'll allow them to win on the road in this game. I think that they'll get out. I think the RPO will get them a couple times in this game, freeze them up and make some plays, because this is also a very much a new team from that 21-21 ACC championship game. There's not even that many players who were on the bench in that game who are going to be playing in this one. But I do think that they get after the quarterback in this game. I think that they kind of pick up the pace there as far as defensively. And I think Veyer and the offense, they find some more big play opportunities, and the offensive line builds a little bit more. I think that they're going to be a better collective group. I think that they're going to be getting off the ball. I'll be intrigued to see who plays for the offensive line this week, because they've had a lot of injuries. I don't know if more people are injured, less people are injured. We'll see what the heck happens there. But I think that you're gonna see a more physical Pitt team further step into that identity, and that'll get them a win. I'm gonna say 30-18.
All right. Unique score. Maybe some scoreigami going on. But
yeah, it's a boring score, 27-17. I'm like, let's go with a fun one. Like, some crazy stuff happens. Lots of field goals from Wake Forest. So, yeah, we're going to say 30-18. I don't know if that's going to be a scoreigami because I'm pretty sure that happened. That's happened in football quite a few times. But certainly I'm going up with something a little different there. But I think Pitt's offense puts points up on the board. And I think its defense also puts points up on the board.
Maybe Pitt football score Gami. I think the Panthers win by a field goal, and a game that Christian Vayer into the fourth quarter takes care of the football, lets the running game take care of it. I think it'll be the Pat Narduzzi defense who makes the ultimate stand when Pitt's up by a field goal. Just hold against Wake Forest and not let their offense really amount to anything, make it inside the red zone, anything like that, to be able to allow Pitt to find a way to start trekking in the right direction in the conference. And some of those sneaky teams like Wake Forest, Syracuse, I don't know if you could consider Duke at that point, but make sure that you handle business against them. And so you come up against Notre Dame and Florida State, probably got to win one of those to become bowl eligible, you'd imagine. So, Chris, where can everybody find you on socials?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Carter Critiques. You could read my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette covering all things Pitt. You can find me on the North Shore Drive podcast for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, as well as the Locked On Steelers podcast and on Channel 11 WPXI. I'm everywhere, Austin. That's part of the game. But you can see all of it where I tag all my work at Carter Critiques on all my social media.
One of not just the good, but the great guys in all of sports media. Really appreciate you joining me, Carter.
Thanks, Austin.
Here on Panthers Pathway, the Pitt Talk Network, Fan First Sports Network, Pitt, Wake Forest. Can the Panthers move to 3-4 overall? 2 wins in a row, potentially, in the conference before a couple big games that are coming up overall for Pitt after the huge win against number 14, Louisville, 38-21 at Accrisure Stadium. Wake Forest on the road at Winston-Salem, then in South Bend against Notre Dame, Florida State back at home before Syracuse game in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium, all right here on Panthers Pathway.